All right, Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. We are at verse 7. I'll start at 6. This is the payoff sermon we've been working toward in analyzing verse 6. Now we're at verse 7, the result. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, we would want something like this if it wasn't available. We would want to be able to have a promise like this, that there's something that we can have peace in that is not based upon the things around us. Lord, we would wish for that. And yet, Lord, we don't have to wish for it, we can actually practice it because, Lord, you have chosen to provide it to your people. And it's great, Lord. It just shows the blindness of our world and the hardness of our hearts that people who are stressed every day, worried every day, in all sorts of frenzy and anguish, and yet, Lord, will not come to you that they might have rest. Lord, help us today as your people to know and apply this in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you have a place where you can go? And when you are there, all is well. Where you can withdraw from the world. And when you're there, a peace envelops you, wraps itself around you. And all the anxieties of the world are overcome. For many, that place is home. You know, there's no place like home, we're told. But not all homes are that peaceful. Some have a mention of vacation. It's a place I go on vacation, you say. Oh, yeah, I can unwind then and there, and all the cares just ease from me. Nature has always been, by God's design, and you'll read of the people like Jonathan Edwards and Charles Spurgeon often withdrawing into the countryside, into nature. You got a place in the woods where you can just be there and you can have rest. A place where all is well. And once you're there, we speak of a descending calm upon us. Just when you go, you're wound up, but you start to unwind. And we talk of cares melting away, burdens flying away. We become light as a feather, burden-wise. We have room to breathe. Some will snooze in the sun with a gentle, cool breeze blowing. And relax. There may be a babbling brook nearby. And of course, the constant melodies of birds, unless the birds are singing rock and robin. That kind of gets you wound up. But just a peaceful, idyllic setting. You can get that in the mountains, I can tell you from experience. But you'll have to put in a few hours of driving to get there. The beach is an hour or two from here. There's that driving again. Plus, there's probably going to be crowds there. I'm not sure the Edisto River babbles very much. It may be in places. Cool breezes, getting rarer as the year advances. Although we might melt soon, rather than the cares melting. So where do you go? What do we see here in this passage? And from the scoffer's standpoint, you read a verse like this and it's unrealistic. Be anxious for nothing. I mean, be anxious for one or two things would be an accomplishment. No, be anxious for nothing. What is this? Some say that we'll have this kind of world, we'll have this kind of peace when everybody agrees with the left The left said, you agree with us, and everybody will be at peace. Other than that, we're on top of it. But it says here, first, what seems to be an impossibly unrealistic and meddlesome command, be anxious for nothing. Then the simple solution given that the world scoffs at is that we should pray. Pray. The world's already told us that that's useless. They don't even want to hear about it. Then to be thankful. Thankful, we're having worries. Why would we be thankful, the world says? What are we going to be thankful for? There's just too much care to be thankful. But we see in that verse 6 that there's absolutely not one mention of the worry itself being removed. That the end result of peace is not contingent upon any one particular worrisome thing being taken away. Your family won't get better necessarily. Your health will not get better. The nation will not get better. It's just that the peace comes without any dependence upon such things. Most people just worry with no intention of stopping. I believe people consider that the cost to get freedom from worry, being in Christ, as you see in verse 7, in Christ Jesus is where this takes place. I think the cost is too high. I think people would rather worry than have Christ. Until our eyes are open, we prefer sin to Christ. We prefer the consequences of sin to Christ. People favor cares and worries. And for those alienated from God, this is the default position. Now, you grew up here, most of you, and you look around, and this is what we call flatland. Now, there are hills here and there. But when you can look in both east and west and north and south and not see anything in the way of a landmass in the way, flatland, that's the default position for this area. You're used to that. Where I grew up, went into our front yard, out the front door, and you went started right here to the left, and just sweep all the way around here and this way, and there's a mountain everywhere. Everywhere I've just gone. One right up there, and then go around over here. And that was our default. That's how we lived. We didn't really think about land that wasn't that way. I always wonder what was on the other side of the mountain. What's over there? But that's our default position. For the lost, the default position is, well, they're going to worry. They're going to fret. They're going to be like the Gentiles, eagerly seeking the answers in this world. And sadly, they believe they might find them one day in the world. But many professing Christians even have fallen into the trap that tells them that worry is inevitable. Why? Because they won't go away. But that's, again, not the secret here. It's not a secret, is it, to how we do not worry? Well, first of all, let's consider conditional peace. Conditional peace, I mean, you can contrast it to conditional love. If my wife makes me hot dogs tonight, then I will love her. That would be conditional love. That's not the love you hear at weddings. You know, you promise to love you and cherish you, all that stuff. There's no if there, if you behave. If you cook good, whatever. Unconditional love is a different thing, but conditional peace means that something has to make it happen from outside. It's peace by circumstances. The peace from here outside then can affect you. That's conditional peace. All these idyllic things I mentioned earlier of the beach, the mountains, the room to breathe, snoozing in the sun, gentle cool breezes blowing, all that stuff. That's an external peace, a peace that comes from the outside. External stimuli. Well, all you need, really, for that kind of peace is to have everything on the outside be good. How hard could it be? What has to change? For us to have a conditional peace, what has to take place? Well, all money problems have to go away. Everybody in your family has to do what is right all the time. The weather always has to be favorable to whatever you have planned. Your body can have no sickness, no weakness, no tiredness, or no aging. All the news reports are truth only, and the truth is pleasant. Every gadget in your house has to work all the time as designated. You can never turn the air on and have no air. Your children behave every second they're awake. I asked Mike about his grandchildren here today. He said they were perfect. So Mike has that one done. The government has to get off our backs. Looking down to the horizon, you see that happening? Hair grows back and teeth stay white. It rains as often as it is needed, and never too much and never too little. All schools stop trying to corrupt our children and instead teach them the basics and onward from there. No child is bullied in school. Your car never runs out of gas or gets dirty or needs new tires or windshield wipers or more oil and can drive itself while you sleep. And by the way, it will drive itself while you sleep. Just not the way you hope. Irritating people would have to be transported to an island off the coast of the main continent on Mars. But you get the picture. Conditional peace is impossible in this world. That's why people worry. That's why people say they have to worry, because it never changes. The conditional peace has to come from out there. And it's not coming from out there. In this world, you have tribulation. So it would appear that obviously if everything was great, it'd be a nonsensical thing to worry. What? I would never worry. Everything's great, but everything is not great. So if you depend upon the outside, you'll have to worry. Conditional peace has to have peaceful conditions. If you're in a state of anxiety, you need the anxiety to go away. You need a new circumstance. So people pray for a new circumstance. Nothing wrong with that, but that can't be where your peace comes from. Depending on a new circumstance puts you in a passive mode. This command is an active command. Be anxious for nothing. If you depend on something else to make that command happen, then that's passive mode. Passive mode is you're out mowing your lawn and it runs out of gas. We have a battery thing now, but so we run out of battery. Let's say the old days, when I was young, in the early 20s, you got to be mowing your lawn, and you'd hear this, the engine would rev, ooh, and then you know it was, the next thing would be, it was out. So what we always did, because we didn't operate on a conditional mowing or passive mowing, we went and got a can of gas and poured gas in there and started to back up, and so off we go again. The passive way to do that is to, once you run out of gas, stand by the mower until someone brings you gas. And who knows when that will be? Why didn't you finish cutting the grass? Well, I'm waiting for somebody to bring me gas. That's the passive mode. And a command cannot be given to a circumstance. You're not commanded be anxious for nothing as long as everything outside is okay. That wouldn't be a commandable. The only condition mentioned here is not really a circumstance. We're told in verse 6 to pray. Not just phone it in. Pray. Actually draw near to God. It's not like you're calling the insurance company. The insurance company says, yeah, we'll get right on that. Yeah, they will, won't they? Or contacting some department in government. They're not interested in us. This is a prayer where you're drawing near to God and you're making an entreaty. You're giving to the Lord a personal burden, a personal need. This is a very intimate thing when we pray. And we're to make our request known to God in this way. Verse 6 says. Now, making the request known, even though peace does not depend upon the request being granted as far as removing the problem, we do pray that it will be removed. It would be kind of silly, wouldn't it? Well, I've got this sickness. I know that my sickness does not have to go away for me not to worry. So I'm just going to pray that you keep it here with me. Well, you know, of course, nobody prays like that. Lord, I'm sick right now. It's, almost 11:45. Lord, by 11:45, if you could take it away, that'd be all right. We want it gone now. We pray now. We specifically ask our powerful God to take it away. That's what we do. The peace, though, is not dependent upon the answer. But we do pray that he takes it away. And we attend our prayer with thanksgiving to God. Not focusing on the enormity of the problem. If you focus on the enormity of the problem, it will dominate your thinking and affect your heart. When people saw the first Jaws movie, you remember the sharks out there? Somebody said he didn't take a shower for a week. I was scary to get in the ocean. Of course, nobody should get in any water that you can't see the bottom of the water with. Oh, people were scared. But with thanksgiving, we're ever mindful of the mercies of the Lord. We're confident in the Lord's wise way. We're thankful to the Lord even that he sent this for his purposes. And we are to always be in remembrance of how the Lord has helped us before. So we come with thanksgiving. We don't come with gloom. We don't come with doom. We don't come with hopelessness. What kind of prayer is that? Secondly, the peace of God. Now, verse 7 makes it clear that this is a result of verse 6. The peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Peace rules over the worries. We've learned in recent times that some people go on vacation, leave their house vacant for a month or so, and in some states, some squatters can move into your house and claim it. What a crazy country we live in, huh? But they do. They get in there and then they start using some legal stuff. And they start saying, you can't push us out of here because we've been here for a month or a week or whatever. And you were gone for a month. And the simple, logical thing to do is to kick them out. You can ask the question, what would John Wayne do? He'd kick them out. Well, you got Weasley government leaders sometime. They got a right to be there now. When peace comes, the squatters are kicked out. The cares in our hearts. Worry unsettles us. Worry makes us unsettled. I get that way with heights. I don't like heights. Laura can do anything with heights. Forget it. Some of you have no problem with heights. The older you get, you wonder, how are you going to get up there anyway? But yeah, and get down, and getting down is always the worrisome part to me. You're unsettled. You can't relax. You can't do what you want to do and what you need to do. You can't be what your children need, your grandchildren need, your spouse needs, your friends need, because you are unsettled. Worry puts us in dread and affects others negatively. You draw energy. We have cats. Right now we have 7 cats at the house. Cats will, and we've proven this, cats will pull your negative energy out of you. And if you're negative, they will be that way. If you're calm, they're a whole lot better. So it affects others, and it accomplishes nothing. Once you worry, I'm worried about this. Let me worry about it. Let me set aside the afternoon and worry about this. At the end of the afternoon, has anyone ever said, "That was hard work, but I finally got that worry done with"? It's like electing politicians. Nothing happens. It's just... And so, worry doesn't work. This peace, though, is not of that nature. It is from God, of God. This explicit declaration is the source of peace, is God. The peace of God. Now, in the Greek, that's a genitive ablative of God. Genitive means, it's of the nature of God. It is mimicking the nature of God. But in this sense, I think it's the ablative, which talks about the source. The source is God. It's the peace of God, the peace from God. So God is the source of the peace, and not the stuff that has to go away so you can have peace. And God is a constant, and God is faithful, and God is dependable. Circumstances, not so. So this means that the source of peace does not have to be the circumstances around us. The source of peace is God. God sends the needed peace and comfort. He evicts the worries. I mean, not from the outside world, but from the inside. He kicks them out. He doesn't entertain their right to be there. He doesn't say that now that they're in there, they've got just as much right to be there as anything else in there. No, he doesn't talk like the world does. Kicks them out. Eviction. The answer to our entreaty occurs in our heart and in our mind. More on that in a moment. He hits the source. Takes the worries from these locations. This is not a manufactured peace, you see. This is a peace by the work of God. It's an actual work of God in His children. Now, salvation, we know, is a work of God. Salvation is of the Lord. If you're saved, you're saved by God. You're not saved by going forward. You're not saved by saying a prayer. You might go forward and say a prayer, but you're not saved by those things. In the process of becoming a Christian, someone may lead you to the Lord, but that in itself is not the reason you're saved. You're saved by a work of the power of God. God does it. God saves you. God gives you peace in this case. It's of God. It cannot be mimicked by man. So, last point. The peace that surpasses all understanding. Now, when somebody's worried and they tell me what they're worried about, I totally understand. If I see a house on the side of a hill, kind of leaning a little bit, and the people tell me they're kind of worried their house might fall down the mountain, I get it. We understand. It's right in front of us. We see the problems. We see the sickness. We see the trouble. And we see it's clearly too big for us to fix or to even bear. It's out of our control. God's peace is remarkable in that we have it without the obvious thing being dealt with, the thing that makes us worry. Well, if God just took all the worries away, we would understand it. It would be comprehensible. It would be something we get. The thing here is that it's without comprehension. It doesn't seem to fit the circumstances. Now, God may remove things. We hope he does. We pray he does. But God's peace is not conditional on that. It's not a product of our mind just being able to deal with it. Worry targets the mind. People chew on their worries in their mind. They roll it over in their minds over and over. And the more you do that, the bigger it gets, the weightier it becomes. And it turns, in turn, it drags down the heart. So when the worry gets into your mind, it affects your heart. And out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, it will take you down to the ground. It will depress you. It will give you hopelessness. It will make you ill. And that is the work of the central organs in our life emotionally, our heart and our mind, what we do and how we think. And the mind will naturally just stir up more worry. But the mind and the heart are placed by God in a experience of peace. How can that be? The mind won't understand it. If you sick your mind on it, well, I was just worried about these things out here, and now I'm not worried, but the things out there are still the same. The mind's going to get confused, but it's going to be healthy. It's going to be okay. It surpasses all understanding. And beyond that, we see in verse 7 that once God gives that peace that we can't understand because things are still the same outside, he also sets a guard on our heart and mind so that the worry doesn't return. It says, this peace will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. If you got a problem, it invades your life, it invades your heart and your mind. You got to get it out. Right now, Israel's in a war. They invaded the country, killed a bunch of people, and now Israel's going after them. You got people saying, well, no, you really can't go after them. What's the only way to do it? The only way you get rid of the problem is to take it out. And so you, with the worries, you push them out and you put a guard up. And the heart and the mind are the centers for active worry. And God's peace protects the heart and the mind from the crippling effects of worry. It evicts it and then guards the house. A real rescue, if somebody breaks into your house at night, a real rescue would be first get the people out of the house. And then, you know, you look out the window after the people who broke into the house are gone, and you see a bunch of police officers around the house. They're guarding the house from any further thing. And all this is a result of being in Christ Jesus, as it says in verse 7. This is a gift for believers. God does not give his peace to unbelievers. Unbelievers are alienated from God. They're enemies of God. They won't rest in the Lord. They have no rest. This is something God gives his children. Freedom from worry. Now, I know what everybody says in the world. You got to worry. There's too many things to worry about. You can't overcome it. Well, I've kind of got a problem with that from the fact that with Christians, it's different. You do not have to be overcome with worry. You do not have to worry. You don't have to have anxiety because the Lord says, be anxious for nothing. Now, that's a great, great promise. Only if you have anything to worry about. Is anyone here like that? Is there anything that you might worry about? Well, this is only applicable to that. You know that song, I got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Where? That was a vacation Bible school or some kind of thing. I don't know if y'all do that at day camp or not. But that's the blessing of God. You can make a bunch of words in there. I've got the wonderful grace of my blessed Redeemer way down to the depths of my heart. Where? I mean, that's the secret. What no psychologist, no psychiatrist, no drug, and no ideology can give you, you have in Christ Jesus to be anxious for nothing. Let's pray. Well, the practicality of this is wonderful. Who doesn't have worries? Every day has enough trouble of its own. What a great God you are, Lord, to bless your children with peace, peace in heart and mind from you. May we, Lord, see it in your people to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.